Good morning and welcome to the Blagger's Guide to the Universe, the survival show where we learn how to blag our way through everyday life. You're with me, Sam Wigginton, and my good friend and sidekick, Paul Foster. Introduce yourself, Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul Foster. I think you just introduced me, didn't you? Didn't that count?
I think that would do.
So go on then, what's this about surviving everyday life?
Well, you know, you and I, we're both jacks of all trades. Is it jacks of all trade? I assume it is jacks of all trade.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
A master of one or two things.
But I wouldn't even say I'm a master of one or two things.
Well, I'm trying. but not knowing the facts has never stopped me getting into a conversation. And I've always thought, if you're sitting there on a train next to your boss and he turns to you and says, well, what do you think of quantitative easing? It won't look very clever if you don't know what to say. So we spoke and we thought, why don't we equip the good people of the world and ourselves with knowledge, just enough knowledge to get by in any given situation, whether it is quantitative easing or the crisis in Kiev or the Byzantine Empire.
Yeah, all three things which come up often in conversation, I find.
Well, you'll be surprised.
Especially the Byzantine Empire.
Well,
that's a constant folly.
You'll be surprised. The number of times that I thought I really should have read that book on the Byzantine Empire.
I think already there seems to be some sort of gulf between our everyday experience.
Sorry, I'll go for how to build an engine. Is that better?
No, you can do whatever.
Although I do know how to build an engine, honest.
Oh.
Somebody told me how to once, and so I'm sure I could give it a go. Yeah. But, moving swiftly onwards, Paul, please tell me, how do you think this show will work?
Well, we decided that me and you like a bit of competition, because we both like knowledge for knowledge's sake. So
absolutely.
We decided that it's got to be a gentlemanly competition, so we will award each other points as we go through. Basically, we've had a couple of days. I don't think it was a full 2 days, was it?
I think mine was a full half an hour at about 2 o'clock last night.
Oh, I got bored at work yesterday,
yeah.
And decided to do it then. So I did a couple of hours, a bit of cramming. So we've decided our first topic, to be topical, was the Brits, which neither of us knew too much about. So we will award each other points for stuff that the other didn't manage to come up with, or stuff that was just very interesting that you hadn't stumbled across yourself. And then also, we had one rule, didn't we, which was you are not allowed to use Wikipedia.
I thought there were two rules.
Oh, okay, what's the other rule?
No notes.
No notes? Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. Yeah, that's
it's just one rule with two parts.
Yeah, because the idea is that, you know, if you're writing it down, by the time we've done a few of these, we're just going to have like a massive file of facts full of facts, which again doesn't look so impressive.
We could
whip that out on the train or in the car.
Yes, so. Quite. Well, but you see, the thing is, when you're sitting next to your boss or you're trying to impress the girl who's sitting opposite you reading a book about Vietnam, you won't have notes on you. You'll have to do it off the cuff. And so we shall also do it off the cuff. So we all equip ourselves with these vital tools.
Yeah, yeah.
For everyday life and survival and things.
Okay, so that rule is just our own personal rule, but the rule for the competition is no Wikipedia. So I know that there are a few things on the Brits that I couldn't back up from other sources. I did use Wikipedia, but if
ooh.
I couldn't confirm it on something else, it's a good like starting place, isn't it, for
information. I didn't even look at it.
Oh, did you not?
No.
See, I just found, so, I was trying to search for certain facts and figures and stuff, and I find that is what Wikipedia is good for, is that people do collate stuff that you can't kind of find anywhere else. So like totals, like I could never find a big ranking table of, oh, who this person got the most, this person got second most, third most, whereas Wikipedia is great for that. But then what I did do is if I found stuff, I had to confirm it through another source. So if there's a few things I know that if you come up with, although, but you said you didn't even go on the Wikipedia page. So
you're just going to sort of shotgun Charlie me.
If you're blagging it or bluffing that you, I didn't even look at it. But if you come up with a couple of things, I'll know that there was no other way to back it up.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have many sources in my cupboard.
Oh, okay. All right.
By which most of them are poorly written journals written by other people. We thought, before embarking upon this Brit topic, that we ought to declare our interests and our, well, I would say expertise, but I wouldn't say that I'm an expert in anything particularly.
No, same.
But we thought we ought to get that out of the way so that the good listeners, yourselves, will know when we're sort of trespassing into areas that we might actually know what we're talking about. And that's very dangerous in blagging, because you might get your facts wrong. People will know that you know your facts, and then, well, the rest is history. So, Paul, tell me your expertises.
Yeah, I would say I know quite a bit about video games. I'm just basically thinking about my hobbies. So I know a bit about video games, films, classical music. I know a little bit about music, as in, like, the notation and stuff. But
you did do a degree in it.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's precisely my point. I know a little bit of German. I would say my things I know nothing about. My history is pretty dreadful. Geography is terrible, embarrassingly so.
Natural or human?
I know nothing. Sorry?
Natural or human geography?
Both. Both.
Or is it physical? I can't remember.
I don't know. See, again, that wasn't particularly convincing.
Yeah, I know my stuff.
I don't remember. Is that kind of outs you as someone who doesn't really know what they're talking about. What did I say I know about? I should have really given this a bit more thought, shouldn't I, before we started?
Well, anyone who doesn't know Paul, you should see his front room. It sort of explains his interests fantastically well. You have a TV in the middle, and on one side you have the world's largest collection of DVDs. And then in the other side, you have the world's second largest collection of music, mostly comprising of bands that you've never heard of and Brahms. So, and, you know, why not a bit of Brahms? But I when I was thinking about the topic of the Brits, I thought, if I were to try and name your top three albums of the last year, I bet none of them got nominated for the album of the year.
You know what, actually? There was one.
Oh, really?
The Daft Punk album.
Ah,
the
yes,
new Daft Punk
of
album is fantastic. I absolutely adore it.
Yes, that would creep into your collection.
Yeah, there you go. So, and Bowie. Yeah, sorry. My good wife is in here.
You listen to the new Bowie?
Yeah, it's good.
Are we going with Bowie and not Bowie?
I believe he normally says David Bowie when he speaks. So
true. He's Scottish, isn't he?
No. Not as far as I'm aware.
Well, there you go.
But I don't know. Again, see, I know a bit about their actual music, but I know very little about the artists themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say they're my main topics.
Sounds about right.
What about yours?
My first love. Well, that might get me into some trouble if I say that. I'll start with my my day job is architecture, so I could talk for Britain even when I don't know what I'm talking about it. So that's probably my greatest expertise, but in terms of things that I'm interested enough in to talk about with certain confidence, you know, there'd be things to do with sports, whether it's field sports like football and rugby, or whether it's individual ones. Extreme sports, I guess, is the things that I know more about, like skiing, snowboarding, windsurfing, these kind of things.
Right. Because I would say sport, I forgot to say, that's one of my least favourite subjects.
Yes.
I know very little about actual sport. So.
But that's quite all right. I'll fill in for our lack of knowledge on that regard.
Well, you always do in the pub quiz.
Yes. And I always get it wrong as well.
That's the only reason we invite you.
But there's never a sport question. And it's always like, who came third in the World Cup in 1962? And I go, golly.
Which is history, isn't it? It's history,
exactly.
Not sport.
Quite.
Basically.
You know, if it didn't happen today, I'm not interested. Or in 1966. But other things that I'm particularly interested in would be things to do with Christian theology, and you know, that sort of branches out into other theologies and philosophies that I find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess because I study architecture, I'm also interested in things to do with history and arts and literature, but only to a certain extent. They're basically things that I'm very good at blagging about without really knowing what I'm talking about. And
yeah,
I
mean, my list of things I can just about blag kind of extend into science, technology.
Yeah. I'm very much the same. I read a book that everyone should go out and buy. It's called How to Teach Quantum Physics to Your Dog. I read it. I got about 2/3 of the way through, at which point I started to not understand the dumbed down versions of what he was talking about.
Right.
But all in all, it means that, you know, when you're talking, if you're talking to somebody who studies quantum physics, they just think you're an idiot. But anyone else, they think, God, this guy knows what he's talking about.
And that's effectively how we've managed to live our lives, isn't it? Is to convince people that we know
more
than we do. And that's what we want to improve on. When you were saying, like, the jack of all trades, master of none, I used to think that was a bit of a disappointment in myself, in my life. I used to think, oh, I wish I could be really good at just one thing. I've got lots of friends who are fantastic at one thing, amongst others. But I just decided that with this podcast, I'm going to embrace the fact that I know an average amount about a few things. And I'm just going to try and make even less knowledge about more things.
We're going to become very average at very many things.
That's it.
And equip everyone else to do it as well. So if you would like to embark upon this journey with us, stay tuned. And so shall we kick it off with the first topic of the day, the one and only topic, I should say, the Brit Awards.
The Brit Awards, okay.
Paul, so, tell me, what have you found out?
Well, see, we've kind of had a bit of conversation before we started, and it sounds like you went for, like, this year, winners and losers and stuff, but I went right back to the beginning of the Brits.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know, Sam, that the Brits started in 1977?
I did know that, actually.
And it was... You would say that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But it was initially... Do you know what it was called? It was originally called the British Record Industry Centenary... No, sorry, it was the British Record Industry Britannia Centenary Awards. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
And you did know that, did you?
No, I didn't, so...
Oh, you didn't? Oh, no. Okay, do I get a point for that?
Ding!
I tell you what, wait for it, because I've got even more. Do you know what the centenary was?
It was the centenary of Thomas Edison inventing the record player, if I'm not...
The sound recording. Okay, gutted, I didn't... Did you know there's a second thing it was celebrating?
It was celebrating Queen Elizabeth II's 25th year on the throne, unless
yeah, the
I'm
Silver
much...
Jubilee.
The yes. Silver Jubilee.
We had a Golden Jubilee recently, didn't we?
That's right.
But we had her... But yeah, so it was her Silver Jubilee. So, and initially, I mean, that was the first one for... I don't think it started yearly until 82, I
is
believe
that
it
not,
was.
Is that true?
Yeah, so 77 was the first one. And it wasn't just, like, stuff that had been in the last year. It was just people... I think it was voted for by the BPI.
Yes, it was. I read that,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, the British Phonograph Institute or something like that, I think.
From what I gathered, is it was voted. It was people in the industry voted, rather than today's somewhat skewed voting system of Twitter.
Yes.
Where, you know, people will just decide what they think is the worst thing ever and then vote.
Oh,
them.
Is that how it? Is that how this year was decided on Twitter?
No, there's a certain element to it. I mean. One Direction won something this year. They won... well, actually, you shouldn't be surprised they won, because the song was called The Best Song Ever.
That's what I was initially very confused when I was reading up on it. I thought, oh, wow, they're going to obviously have to stop that category of best song, because One Direction
exactly.
Just won Best Song Ever, so it'll never ever be done again.
So Jack Black isn't too happy about it, because they found the song that he sang on that road on that fateful night. But, yes, and there was something to do with how, because they had 17 million odd followers on Twitter, that carried them through in the voting process. Whether that was
right.
The whole thing, but I think...
Yeah,
that
but there's a lot of One Directioners, aren't there, or whatever they're called. So, you know, they probably would have won anyway. It's interesting you raised the point. I was reading about Belle and Sebastian. I can't remember what year it was.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2000s, I think. But they won. It was like a, I think it was a Radio 1 vote.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of controversy because they won Best Album or something right. like that. And it had been, yeah, there was this thing, it had been voted for by Radio 1 listeners, and they thought there might have been corruption because they had a lot of student votes, and there was like, oh, did the bands go to the unis to try and canvass for votes, or was it just that lots of students listened to them and stuff like that? There was a bit of controversy.
Was that the first time that it had been done in that particular way then?
I'm not sure. I didn't find any sort of confirmation for that, but it was just, I was reading up on some of the controversies of the Brits.
Right, I see.
So, yeah. I mean, that was my overall opinion of the Brits. It's just, it's kind of very British in that all the dramas that happen are really quite pathetic.
Yes.
There's kind of never really been anything majors kicked off, like... the first ever controversy was 1988, where Rick Astley got given an award. It was the first, I think it was the first year it had been on the BBC. No, it wasn't the first year, but it was broadcast on the BBC. Initially, the first year was broadcast on ITV.
As it is now, I seem to remember.
Oh, is it?
Yes,
oh,
okay. It's on the ITV at the moment.
Right, but they were like Thames or something like that. When it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the BBC would broadcast it 1 year, and obviously they didn't want to go over the 9 o'clock news.
Right.
So it, which they did by a minute, in fact.
Oh, right.
Because The Who played too long. But what happened is Rick Astley went to get his award. He was sitting in a box. It was in the Albert Hall, apparently. So he was sitting in a box, and he had to come all the way down to the front, and The Who just, like, got rushed onto the stage, so he didn't get to do
his
acceptance speech. And it's like, that was the first ever controversy at the Brits, was the fact that it went a minute over into the 9 o'clock news and Rick Astley didn't get his award. I just was like, that's so British, isn't it? Just like, that's what equates for drama.
Yes, it's
fine country.
Like, there are the BBC sort of rake up these articles to do with, you know, who, you know, the five things we learned, or, you know, the five
yeah.
things that, you know, blow-by-blow accounts of the Brits. And the most startling of them all was seeing James Corden, who presented this year. It was the third and final time that he presented the Brits.
It wasn't, actually. He
was it not?
This might be another point. He has presented it the most of anyone. He's presented it five times.
But it's three times in a row.
Solo.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I
but
see,
see. He's presented it five times, and do you know who was in the second place? Chris Evans with four.
Oh, really?
He did it four times.
I could readily believe that.
That is factual.
I'll just write that down. but there was that moment, I think it was last year, where he interrupted Prince... giving what I'm sure was a heartfelt, warm speech to take a selfie with him. I don't know if you've seen the photo. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I didn't know about this.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said there.
No. I didn't know about this.
No, you should just have a look at it later, just for your own sake. It's, you know, sort of with the audience over their shoulders and... taken by a camera that seems to have been installed in something like a toothbrush or something, you
right.
know, appalling quality, and it looks very uncomfortable.
Really?
Prince clearly doesn't know who James Corden is. I don't blame him.
I quite like James Corden, actually. Oh, it wouldn't make me watch the Brits, but I do quite like him.
No.
Have you seen The Wrong Mans?
I've seen a bit of The Wrong Mans.
And it was
I saw the
good.
First episode and it was excellent, but I haven't seen any more of it. Should I watch more?
You should watch all six. It's very good. But yeah, he was the co-writer, wasn't he, and director of that, so
did he,
that was very good.
I knew he starred in it, but I didn't
yeah.
You don't get points for that, though. That's
no, that's fine. That's fine.
Because you're 2-0 up anyway.
Am I?
Oh, you must. I'm sure you
are.
Oh,
okay. Well, thank you. I'm going to write that down.
But my focus on the Brits was looking at more the... less sort of factual, because, you know,
this will be interesting.
you can get caught out very easily on facts, you see. Whereas if
right,
you talk
okay.
if you talk about the general sort of the feel and the, you might say, the philosophy of the awards program, then there's room for opinion. So if you don't have
it to, doesn't get you any points, though, does it? That's not really a impressing. That I
no,
mean,
no, no, because...
I hate to call you out on it. But.
No, no, no. Hear me out.
Okay, go on.
What I'm saying is, it's... you back up your small facts with analysis, as it were.
Right.
And okay. So people will be impressed by your analysis of the program and your opinions upon it. And it is, I think it is a substitute for cold hard facts, because you don't sit there in a conversation with somebody and say, "Did you know?" and rattle five facts off your heads. You've got to sort of have an emotional connection with these ideas.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, but I can kind of slip. I like to slip.
Oh,
actual facts.
Of course,
that's how I always play.
Of course, I guess
just
it's a,
I'm smug
two different
annoying.
Styles of blagging. but what I found was that there's, well, you know, the much has been made of how audience figures have fallen again. You know, 4 million this year, 6.5 million last year. It's the lowest figure since 1999. And it got me wondering, is this something that's sort of symptomatic of a British awards programme? You know, this year's, as opposed to last year's, it was chocked full of, international award-winning talents, producing live, doing live shows, trying to make it feel young, fresh, energetic, appeal to a young British audience, and it doesn't seem to have worked, really. You know, tweets have increased by a third, but, you know, I'm sure that's mostly people who weren't watching it just sitting at home saying, "I don't like James Corden because he does bad selfies with Prince," or something, you know.
See, the thing is, the way I see pop music, I've got nothing against pop music. I mean, like, we often have the radio on in the car, whatever. But I think the whole thing about pop music is it is kind of just a background noise, isn't it? The whole idea is it's meant to be inoffensive. Someone does one thing, like the current trend of you have a slow version of originally, like, fast, upbeat song, and it's just a woman sings it with a piano.
Yeah.
And, like, one person did that, and it was really popular, so now everyone wants to do that. And that's just kind of how pop music works. They go, "Oh, this works, so let's basically do that song, but we'll do it like in our own slightly different style." Yeah. But it's essentially,
which is fine.
I mean, like, my brother pointed out that JT's most recent song is basically "Cry Me a River," but just with a slightly different tune. But it's effectively the same song. It's like the same structure. So any award ceremony, like celebrating pop music, is by its very nature just going to kind of be a bit like take it or leave it. Do you
yeah.
see what I mean? It's not.
No, I completely agree. And what I was thinking about is you have these categories for well, what's good about the Brits is that you know, as the name would suggest, it's celebrating British talent, so that, you know, there's room for young British, you know, a 17-year-old British person from Bradford, let's say, can win. Whereas if they were competing with the big guns over in America, they just wouldn't have a chance.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, because One Direction have been extremely
sure,
popular
but,
over in America.
What I mean is it allows for more sort of, you know, more precocious, more independent talent to come through.
I don't know,
One Direction
are, agree with that. I would have said that most of the people who have... I mean, you've got, like, the Arctic Monkeys, obviously. They won two awards this year, didn't they? Which is quite impressive.
Mm.
But and they came from, like, relative obscurity, didn't they? They were found on YouTube or something like that. They were one of, like, these first bands who were discovered. So
the
they
Arctic
weren't
Monkeys.
Manufactured at all. But, yeah, the Arctic Monkeys, yeah.
Were they found on YouTube? All that time
I believe it was, yeah, yeah. I'm
really?
Sure it was
wow.
YouTube. I mean, this wasn't even part of my study. It was just something I kind of knew. But, yeah,
no
they...
points there, then.
Sorry?
No points there, then.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. But the majority of it is quite sort of manufactured, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm thinking more of the Mercury Awards, then.
Yeah, I think the Mercury Awards are kind of a bit more...
And I just wondered... I just felt that the Brits... had a bit of that, obviously not as much. There's a great, you know, if you look at the winners and losers, David Bowie as best male, no surprises there. Ellie Goulding winning best female, she stands up there and says, "I'm completely gobsmacked, I can't believe it. I can't think of anyone else who'd have won it." It should be no surprise.
I'm giving you a point for the knowledge of some of these people who have won this year because I didn't know. I didn't go so much into that. See, for me, I focused
the top
on
of
I
the think, article.
The thing that stood out for me is I've got some of these facts, which the way this conversation's going, maybe I have like gone in the wrong direction. Because, like you say,
who knows?
Potentially, if I am stuck in a conversation about this, I'm going to have like stuff that's maybe not so relevant to today. But when I was looking over it and trying to find some facts about it, I found that the majority of things were like, oh, you won't believe, like in 1996, Jarvis Cocker showed his bum when Michael Jackson was performing. Yeah, did you not know that?
There's all these
like stupid little bits. And it's kind of, that seems to be of what's defined the Brits. Like, you had Robbie Williams and the Gallaghers, like, squaring off and threatening to fight each other. And it's all about people, like, Arctic Monkeys, apparently the first time they won, they slagged off the Brit School. And that had to be, because, you know, the Brit School is near where I work, it's in East Croydon.
Yeah.
And one of my colleagues, his wife works there, actually. But they slagged them off, and it had to be cut from the broadcast. And you got Adele gave the middle finger to the Brits organisers last year, and stuff like that. It just seems to be what's defined as opposed to actually who's won.
I guess it's less slick.
Sorry, my wife's dying here. I don't know if you can hear in the background, but can you die upstairs or something? Is that no? Okay, she says no.
That's a shame. I had hoped that she would die.
She's just passing away here. but yeah, I mean. There's lots of little bits. Just there's something that we're kind of uneasy in Britain about being cool. I do agree with stuff like, did you know anything about like where Brits has bumped up against politics and stuff like that? And even then, it's quite pathetic.
No, but yes, I agree. Like, I don't know anything on that particular point.
Well, let me tell you,
there's something almost petty about it.
Yeah, there is.
But please do.
Yeah, well, Margaret Thatcher apparently was in. I think this was 1995 or something like that.
Right, or
1990, something like that. But she was in one of the VT.
Couldn't have been in 1995.
Well, she was still alive.
Yeah, it was John Major. Oh, sorry, I thought you were.
No, basically, she was just in one of like the VT sections, and she was declaring that her favourite song ever was "How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?"
I remember reading that. Yes.
And then the Fine Young Cannibals, who had won two awards that year, apparently gave their awards back in disgust.
Brilliant.
Like, but even then, you think, well, is it really that big a deal? That you...
yeah.
Because like Chumbawamba. I think that was 98, they tipped a bucket of ice and water over John Prescott because they said like he shouldn't have been there trying to pretend that Labour all cool and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just like, it's just so British, isn't it? It's just so petty and
absolutely.
Just rubbish. But that seems to have been what's defined the Brits. It's just people being rude to each other. That's one thing I don't like about Britain, is that we just seem to always, we're just so rude, aren't we, as a nation?
Well, not in Northern Ireland, we're not. But I say we, they.
Yeah, well, I was going to say it's not you, is it?
I pretend to be Northern Irish when I'm here.
Oh, okay. Do you want to give us a quick blast of that?
I can know yourself, you do. can't catch me off guard like that, Paul, you know. but when I... to sort of carry on that sort of thing about what is the Brits... It's kind of strange that they have made... So they're going for this young, energetic, trying to relate to a younger audience, promote a new generation of British talent, which is excellent and great and worthy of doing and all that. Absolutely. But they seem to have, in my opinion, got stuck between the Mercury Awards and the Grammys.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there does seem to be some sort of emulation of the American... model,
because
it?
You know, if you go to the Arctic Monkeys and say you can take those three awards they've won down the years for best album, or you can trade that in for two Grammys, I think they'd take it, you know, because the Grammy is the sort of the pinnacle of music, you know, if you're to define success in those terms, that is as good as it gets. But I don't think that and yet it's,
I don't know if the Arctic Monkeys would themselves, they don't strike me to be that sort of band.
Maybe not.
They're a bit more like Oasis, where they're sort of homegrown talent.
That's true. But I mean, just in terms of the prestige of the awards, Grammys is the pinnacle in terms of awards.
Yeah, then, I don't see there's anything wrong with that. you know, we've got our own version.
But I mean is, in contrast to that, you have then perhaps the Brits should be more of the Brits and not have awards for best international talent, because what does Katy Perry, if she wins an awards for best international female singer, she'd actually think, I'd probably rather have, I mean, I don't know, what do you think? It's something I'm not entirely decided on. Should the Brits just be British, or should they...
I don't know. I think part of wanting to get the approval, and like you say, trying to sort of keep up with the American side of things, I think they kind of need an international, because otherwise everyone's just going
to ignore
them.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Going back to the fact, we're starting to run a bit long. I'm just thinking, we're starting to run a bit long. This has become sort of more opinion than
cold,
like...
cold hard facts.
Factual stuff that you can actually...
But opinion...
lag your way through. Because opinion... I can have an opinion on stuff,
sure,
I know nothing about. Like, to me, having an opinion on something... Like, I've just come up... None of this has come from my research. This is just stuff I'm just making up off the top of my head. Whereas, knowing that... see, look, right, okay, here's another way of putting it, right? The state of the Brit Awards, to me, is summed up by the fact... Do you know who has been nominated and won the most Brit Awards ever?
I would guess Cliff Richard, but I'm not sure.
Robbie Williams. Some of them would take that, but even without those, he's the most nominated and...
That seems to make sense.
Celebrated. Yeah, but that's terrible, isn't it? He's not that great. He's not a very nice person.
No, well...
And do you know who the best band? The band who have got the most awards? U2.
I dread to think. U2.
Yeah, that just sums up for me. Robbie Williams and U2. Can't stand
U2
either.
U2 aren't even British, though.
Well, I think they won the international.
Ah, okay, see, that's what they've been winning.
Yeah, exactly. But even then, that's still pretty shocking to me. Like, the Beatles, I think they got 4 or 5 awards.
Yeah.
Over the years, like, they're down the bottom of...
Mind you,
of sort of the repeat... wins.
Yeah, to be fair, like, if it only started in 77, they missed out a good chunk of their career, though.
Oh yeah, I'm just thinking of, I mean, to be honest, they're probably the best group. I mean,
yeah,
it's just that to me was sort of the thing. Like I say, I think if you're doing something British, it kind of makes sense for it to all be people mouthing off each other live on stage and stupid little like spats that broke out, because that's kind of what Britain is to me.
Yeah,
and just celebrating quite mediocre talents.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
That's an interesting point, because if you've got somebody like Robbie Williams who wins the most awards, as you say, is that not a reflection of British taste, that we will continue to listen to one of our own despite... I heard recently that Radio 1 are refusing to play him. Is it Radio 1 or is it Capital? Are refusing to play him because he no longer relates to this year, to this generation.
Right.
But, you know, for a good, 15, 20 years, he did represent a sort of a middle ground of British music.
Which is quite a scary thought, isn't it?
Potentially. But I guess pop music is, in its nature, popular, and awards are giving... are doing what the people want. I guess that's why Twitter probably is a good way of deciding.
Yeah.
Like, if it were a sort of an honest medium, which generally it isn't.
Well, on that depressing note, I think that just about sums up the Brits. So I make it 2-1 to me.
That's a shame.
But
it was a well fought fight.
Well, the only thing was, maybe going forward we need to It maybe needs to be more facts than opinions. I don't know.
Because
I think it's easy to have opinions on stuff that you know nothing about.
I was trying to give opinions based on the facts.
Right,
so
okay.
Looking at the facts, I then came to those conclusions.
Right.
Rather than, somebody asking
tomorrow.
Well,
it'll be interesting to see how this evolves. Maybe on these topical discussions, that's going to be more the case. Whereas I think going forward, we're looking at having two topics, aren't we?
Yeah.
A podcast, and then one will be something about that will be more like the universe side of things, where we just pick a topic or a subject or an animal or something. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what people come up with. We would be looking for people to suggest things for us, and also we're looking for people to guest on the show as well.
Absolutely.
Because part of the competitive nature, if you want to come on and see how well you can blag, blag, you're more than welcome to join us.
Get somebody else to represent another regional accent that we don't represent.
Yeah, that's it. To complicate things further. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this this evolves.
Develops.
I might say. Yeah, yeah. So, well, thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Paul.
Should we? Do you want to close? Have you got some sort of pithy pithy closer for us?
Nothing springs to mind, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, certainly we have been sort of winging it for this pilot episode, haven't we? So,
winging it for this pilot episode. There's a good pun in there somewhere.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I definitely had that
in
mind. But yeah, if you've got any suggestions,
it propelled us right to the end.
Hey, I like it. I like it.
Sorry,
let's not crash. Let's not crash out here. But yeah, if you've got any suggestions for the format, or like say, or topics, or you want to get involved, then yeah, let us know. Maybe you do think that opinions are going to be more helpful in these sorts of conversations than the cold hard facts. It's interesting that we've both come from slightly different ends of the spectrum there.
Well, I think it's probably good that we did, because then we can sort of look at the ways that we've each done it and reflect on it, because you know, I obviously know that there's limitations to looking at it the way that I did, and so it'd be really interesting to get people's views to see, you know, do we want to balance, do we want to move it more your way, or but please do get in touch. We'll be getting a Twitter handle, I think they call it. You can get us on Facebook, or if you have either of our phone numbers, give us a call.
Yeah, I was going to say, the people receiving this are going to be people who already know us.
Yeah,
so,
quite.
So get in touch, let us know what you think. And until next time, happy blagging.
Thank you.
So, something like that, we might need to work on that.
Yes.
Blagulator.
Blagulator. Is that like a calculator? You calculate how much you blag.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe that's
how
what
much
we
you need to maybe, get into the. Into
maybe
the
that can be our scoring system. The blagulator.
The blagulator. That's good. We might need to work on that. Lovely. All right then. All right. Cheers, Sam.
Thanks, Paul.
Blagulator.
Blagulator.